ब्रह्मा उपाश्रुतानि अबाउट द क्वालिटीज स्पोकन ऑफ अलम सफिशियंटली तरेस्यता यू विल बी एबल टू ऑफर स्तोत्रम प्रेयर अपिच्यवाचः. O gentle reciters, sati, being the proper engagement, uttama shloka, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, guna, of the qualities, anuvade, discussion, jugupsitam, to an abominable person, na, never, stavayanti, offering prayers, sabhyaha, persons who are gentle. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O gentle reciters, offer such prayers in due course of time, when the qualities of which you have spoken actually manifest themselves in me. The gentle who offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not attribute such qualities to a human being who does not actually have them. Purport. Gentle devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead know perfectly well who is God and who is not. Non-devotee impersonalists, however, who have no idea what God is and who never offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always interested in accepting a human being as God and offering such prayers to him. This is the difference between a devotee and a demon. Demons manufacture their own gods, or a demon himself claims to be God. Following in the footsteps of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, although Prithu Maharaj was factually an incarnation of the Supreme, a personality of Godhead, he rejected those praises because of the qualities of the Supreme Person were not yet manifest in him. He wanted to stress that one who does not actually possess these qualities should not try to engage his followers and devotees in offering him glory for them, even though these qualities might be manifest in the future. If a man who does not factually possess the attributes of a great personality engages his followers in praising him with the expectation that such attributes will develop in the future, that sort of praise is actually an insult. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One personality prominent in South India, he questioned that how can Ram be the Supreme Lord when he worshipped Lord Shiva before he could cross. The ocean to go to Lanka. So how come you claim that he is God? So this question came to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada replied that the Lord's devotee is more worshipable than the Lord. And Prabhupada quoted Lord Shiva himself speaking to Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachana. Aradhananam, of all types of worship, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, the highest personality to worship is Vishnu. Tasmat, but Parataram Devi, my dear Devi Parvati, Tadenam Samachana, the Tadiya, the things or personalities related to Vishnu are more worshipable than Vishnu himself. But the man was not satisfied when he inquired from Srila Prabhupada. He said, but still Ram worshipped Shiva or a Shiva Lingam before he went to Lanka. Like that. Then Prabhupada gave the answer. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. That if Krishna wants to kill someone, nobody can and save. And if Krishna wants to save someone, nobody can kill. So the man was confused. And he said, but why are you quoting this verse? You didn't convince me first, but were you quoting this verse? So Prabhupada replied that Ram is just taking permission from Lord Shiva to kill his devotee, Ravana. He said, you bless me that I kill him. So when Ramachandra came to Lanka, Prabhupada mentions Ravana here in the purport, how he wants to be God. So when Ramachandra came to Lanka, Lord Shiva was sitting on Mount Kailash with Parvati. And Parvati could understand that one of the strongest personalities who worshipped Lord Shiva was Ravana. And Parvati is telling Lord Shiva, you know, he's about to be destroyed, your dear devotee, Ravana. What to do? Why don't you save him? So Lord Shiva replied, same verse. If Vishnu wants to kill someone, I cannot save. And if Vishnu wanted to save someone, even I, Lord Shiva, cannot kill. Like that. So therefore those who claim to be God and those who want to be God are always destroyed in this sense. In July of 1958, Srila Prabhupada was wandering here in Bombay. Nobody was listening to him. But everyone listens to Mayavadis and impersonalists. So in July of 1958, in the summer, there was this president of what is called the Gita Sammelam, something to that effect. And his name was Sri Ratanshi. Ratanshi. Like you get Ratan Tata, right? Yes. So Ratanshi was the chairman of what is called Gita Week in 1958. And he was advertising all over Bombay, come to Gita Week. And many people were going and there were newspaper reports how popular this Gita Week is. And what is the main theme of Gita Week? When the impersonalist so-called sadhus used to speak, they are trying to save Krishna from being an immoral person. They are trying to save Krishna from being an immoral person. How can he go in the dead of night with other people's wives? Like that. So Srila Prabhupada was disgusted. Like that. And I think they also call it Bhagavat Week by using Srimad Bhagavata, especially Rasa Leela, trying to save Krishna to be moral, not immoral. In that sense. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote to this Ratanshi. And he said, if you do not stop this nonsense, I will take legal action against you. That how you are trying and your people to save my Krishna from being immoral. So later on, Srila Prabhupada recounted this interaction, that he was feeling utterly useless while preaching in Bombay in 1958. He was feeling utterly useless, that he could not do anything. Even he settled with legal action, they were more powerful than the legal persons themselves. But just to defend the Supreme Lord, Krishna. But he said all his attempts were useless. But still, he never gave up. So later on, he commented that Krishna has a right to be the most immoral person. Why are we speaking like this? Because a lot of bogus incarnations and impersonals, they become immoral in their activities and they have their own rasa leela. But he says Krishna has a right to be the most immoral person because he can do any damn thing he wants. That makes him the supreme. He can kill, he can cheat, he can do anything that appears even contaminating because he is the Supreme Person. So why not? Let him be the most immoral person. But you are trying to keep your morals. And who is that lady next to you? So the person is an aristocratic gentleman. In culture, you do not ask an aristocratic man who is the lady next to you. It's an insult. If you ask an aristocratic man who is the lady next to you, it's an insult. Everyone can know in a cultured society that any lady that is next to a man, that is wife. Or any young girl that is next to a man, that is daughter. You don't need to ask. So the aristocratic man thought, wow, this Swamiji, he went to be cultured. How can he be so uncultured by asking me, who is this lady next to me? Can't he understand this is my wife? Krishna Prabhupada said, answer. The man looked down, embarrassed, because nobody, no cultured person will answer. But he had to. So the answer. So this is my wife. Sounds stupid that Prabhupada asked such a question, being uncultured, feeling that way. Then Prabhupada asked, for how long? For how long she will be your wife? In other words, you may not give her to Krishna, but she will go to Krishna. Because for how long? She is actually the wife of Krishna. So who is immoral? You have stolen her from Krishna to make her your wife? Now who is immoral? For how long you can keep her as your wife? So therefore, Krishna consciousness is beyond so-called mundane morality. And he gives you the highest morality of Krishna consciousness, because everyone belongs to Krishna. In that sense. So therefore, your Prabhupada says in the purport that this non-devotee, impersonalist, they have no idea who God is, and they never offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they want to become God and enjoy Krishna's property, either in a licit, that means legal, or an illicit or illegal way. Both is bad in that sense. So therefore we all belong to Krishna for his pleasure. When Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965, he had no place to stay, but he had one address of Dr. Ramamurti Mishra. He was running a yoga studio. Srila Prabhupada denounced the impersonalists and Mayavadis in India. But when he went to America, the only acquaintance he had was a Mayavadi. Jesse Deshakala Patra. In India, he refused to go to this Bhagavad Katha from this Gita Samayala. And he threatened them with legal action. But here is Dr. Ramamurti Mishra. Pakka Mayavadi, first class in the West. You know, reading from Bhagavad Gita, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, but giving his impersonal lectures right in front of Prabhupada. But what does Prabhupada do? Because the circumstances are different from India, now he's in the West, he has no place to stay, he humbly has to hear all this garbage or nonsense of Dr. Mishra in Dr. Mishra's yoga studio, because he has no place to stay. He did not smash it. But Srila Prabhupada commented that these people that he is being preached to, their faith is very soft and pliable. That means that if I convince them, they will easily change. So therefore I wasn't so much concerned. But those persons in Bombay, that this Sri Dhatanshi with his Mayavadi sadhu, I could not change. Because their faith was fixed that they want to become God. But then the West, soft and pliable, easily they can change. So therefore I did not attack him. At the same time, I'm using him in Krishna's service so that he can give me a place to stay, so that he can benefit. So Prabhupada tried to preach to him. And Prabhupada said, you're giving such nice classes on Bhagavad Dharma, and you're giving this impersonalistic tendencies. You know, why don't you help me? Why don't you help me in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement? And this Dr. Mishra was learned, Panditji, not a devotee, Pandit, learned, scholar, Shastriji, he was that. He knows about Lord Chaitanya. So he replies to Prabhupada. He says, Swamiji, you are telling me to help you to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But I cannot help you. But Prabhupada asks, why? Because I see you as an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. So if I see you as an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, how can I help you? Like that. And Srila Prabhupada again tried to preach to him. And Srila Prabhupada went along, not accepting it, but went along. And he said, if you see me as an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, then your surname is Mishra. And Lord Chaitanya's father's name is Jagannath Mishra. So you are like my father. So please help me. Because you have the same family name as Lord Chaitanya's father. Imagine Prabhupada, such an intelligent personality. He is trying to preach to him to help him in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Immediately Mishra declined, I cannot help you. Oh, now I see you as incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, he's my avatar. And now you're telling me that I'm an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya's father, I do not accept. Prabhupada said, but that's your philosophy. Father is greater than son, so you help me. Then eventually Prabhupada glorified him. I see you are a Sanskrit scholar. Why don't you help me in my translation work from Sanskrit to English and spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and you'll be famous all over. Mishra said this will not work. But many years later, when the devotees met him, this Dr. Mishra, when Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, especially Prabhupada's first Sanskrit editor, Pradyumna Prabhu, when he met him, he said, you remember Prabhupada offered you this? Did you become a Sanskrit editor? He said, yes, I regret that I declined at that time. Because Mayavadis want to be famous. And that's that. So therefore we find that the incarnation of a devotee is more powerful than the incarnation of the Lord himself. This is Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the incarnation, the Shakta Avesh, incarnation of the Lord's foremost devotee in this age of Kali, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, that he can even try to preach to Mayavadis to make them devotees to assist him in the mission of Lord Chaitanya in this work. Do you have any comments or questions? I'd like to ask. I mentioned to Asim Krishna that the class will be short. If you have questions, it will help me to speak a little more. Anyone? Some? My health is not very good, so please excuse me.
Hare Krishna. One thing, it always bothered me. We read from Chaitanya Charitamrita that how Lord Krishna himself ordered Shankaracharya to preach this Mayavad philosophy so that people become atheistic and they go away from Krishna. Now all the Acharyas come and condemn Mayavad philosophy. So why, in the first place, why it has to be done, and now why it has to be defeated?
You all heard the question? Question was clear? Who's not clear with the question? Okay, repeat, but speak louder.
My question is, we read from Chaitanya Charitamrita that how Lord Krishna himself ordered Lord Shiva to preach this Mayavad philosophy. Now later on all the Acharyas come and condemn the Mayavad philosophy. So in the first place, why it has to be preached, and I don't understand the Leela of Krishna.
There are two answers to this. The first answer is that Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That the Brahmanas, even if they are wrong, they are still dear to the Lord. In other words, because Dhammam Tushakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, that the Dharma is enunciated by the Lord, and to execute Dharma, the Lord executes Dharma through the mouth of the Brahmanas. Therefore, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. So the Lord is a transcendental trickster. He does not attack the Brahmanas, because although if they are wrong, he keeps Dharma that the Brahmanas always should be the head, even if they are wrong. Like that. So at the time, prior to the advent of Lord Buddha, this is what the Brahmanas were doing. They were misusing the Dharma, the Vedas, and they were actually encouraging immoral activities like meat eating and so forth. So the Lord did not attack the Brahmanas. He did not attack. So he appeared as Buddha or he appeared as a Shastavesh avatar as Buddha, it does not matter, but the principle remains. There's some controversy about that, but that's not what we're discussing now. So when Buddha appeared, he did not attack the Brahmanas. He said, reject the Vedas, follow me. Reject the Vedas and follow me. Because in this avatar or Shaktavesh avatar of Buddha, he did not attack the Brahmanas, but he said, reject the Vedas. So he kept Dharma intact that we should not offend Brahmanas, even if they are wrong. Because who would take care of the Brahmanas if they are wrong? Krishna himself. But in a way that he still keeps Dharma. So then, what was Buddha's philosophy? Reject the Vedas. Because everything is sunyavad. Everything ends in nothing. So you follow me, what's the use of doing all these activities according to Dharma? You follow me because everything ends in nothing, do like this. So he preached ahimsa, non-violence. Like that. So what he essentially did, Buddha, he essentially took all the minuses of what the Brahmanas were propagating in the false name of the Vedas. Minus 20, minus 19, minus 18, minus 17, minus 16, minus 15. Because the general mass of people will only accept the Vedas through the mouth of this now bogus, unscrupulous Brahmanas. So he said, reject the Vedas means reject the misinterpretation of the Vedas by the Brahmanas, and he brought it to Sunyavad. Sunyavad means zero. He said, don't follow this, follow nothing of this. Zero. Now what Krishna has to do? Now Krishna has to step by step reinstate the actual teachings of Dharma or the Vedas. Like that. So then he sent Sankaracharya. So Sankaracharya, he brought the teachings of the Vedas one step closer. He said, everything is not Sunyavad, zero. It is not zero. He said, everything is one. So higher than zero is one, and lower than zero is minus one, minus two, minus three, which the Brahmanas were propagating wrongly. So Buddha brought it to zero. And Sankaracharya brought it to one. One step closer. That everything is Aham Brahmasmi, spirit. All of you are spirit. We are all spirit. We are all one in spirit. It is better than zero. Okay? Then the Lord sent empowered personality, Madhavacharya. After Sankaracharya came, Madhavacharya. And he said, I agree that all is one. But at the same time it is true. In the Madhavacharya famous? Two. We accept that in two is included one. So Buddha, zero. Sankaracharya, one. Madhavacharya, two. So he said, everything is spirit. But there is Supreme Spirit and there is subordinate spirit. So he brought it even closer. And we follow, and we happen to be in the Madhavacharya Sampradaya. Like that. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he made it even more juicy. And he said, no, we agree that zero means no more material desires. And he quoted, na ganam na janam na sundarim kavitam. Not this, not that, not that. Sense enjoyment, impersonalism, followers. Not that. Zero. I agree, everything is one. Because everything is one in service. Everyone has to serve, one. See? Krishna Ranitidas. Kivara Swarupa Krishna. Everything is one. But we also agree that Madhavacharya said everything is two. But I say it is not stopping at two. It is three, four, five, six, seven, unlimitedly. Gopi Bhakta Padakamalayu, Dasa Dasa, Anudasa. So he completed it. And we are fortunate to be in that from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the first answer. The second answer is that in the Science of Self-Realization, Srila Prabhupada very clearly says that Sankaracharya is an impersonalist from the materialistic point of view. So that indicates that Shankaracharya is not an impersonalist from the spiritual point of view. So then somebody may ask, but what about Sariratamasya? Oh yes. We accept Sariratta Bhasya from the spiritual viewpoint that it is a future, and Prabhupada mentions to the effect it is a future of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Bhagavan iti sabhyate. So Vaishnavas achinta veda aveda tattva. We accept everything as simultaneously one and different from. So we accept Shankaracharya from the spiritual point of view. But the impersonalists accept him only from the materialistic point of view, Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. And therefore everything is Brahman. We accept Brahman, isn't it? We do. Because we are all spiritual. But in the variegatedness of spirituality, there is the Jiva and there is the Ishva in that sense. So from these two viewpoints, Prabhupada explains in that regard. Now when Prabhupada gives this super lengthy purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sariratta Bhasya and Shankaracharya, he simply does that so that people do not misunderstand. And then he always quotes Shankaracharya, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda. In the end he said, just see the conclusion of Shankaracharya. Come to Govinda. Bhaja Govinda, Mudamati, you fools. Come on. We understand who Shankaracharya is. We understand why he appeared. And we understand that you should follow him like this to come to Govinda's lotus feet. Is that okay? Thank you. So it's almost 9 o'clock. Can I stop? Okay. Stop. I prefer to stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Natai Gaur Premanande.